So wonderful to be among each one of you, and I'm so thankful to God for giving us this opportunity to minister to you. This is my wife, Zan Benny, and that's her real name, and she's from Nagaland. She's not from Singapore or Malaysia, which some of them kept on asking her, but what about your father, your grandfather, your great-grandfather? No matter what you talk, she's still from Nagaland. And the northeast part of India, they all look like her, which is similar to the Chinese looking. And that's about 40 million people in the northeast part of India. They look like Zan. And she's going to sing a song to start off this evening for us. And this song is called Listen to Our Hearts by Stephen Curtis Chapman.
How do you explain? How do you describe a love that goes from east to west and runs as deep as it is wide? You know all our hopes, Lord, you know all our fears, and words cannot express the love we feel, but we long for you to hear. So listen to our hearts, hear our spirits sing, a simple song of praise from those who have redeemed. And we will use the words we know to tell you what an awesome God you are. But words are not enough to tell you of our love, so listen to our hearts. If words could fall like rain from these lips of mine, and if I had a thousand years to speak, Lord, I will still run out of time. So if you listen to my heart, every beat will say, thank you for the life, thank you for the truth, thank you for the way. So listen to our hearts, hear our spirits sing, a simple song of praise from those who have redeemed. And we will use the words we know to tell you what an awesome God you are. But words are not enough to tell you of our love, so listen to our hearts. So listen to our hearts, hear our spirits sing, a simple song of praise from those who have redeemed. And we will use the words we know to tell you what an awesome God you are. But words are not enough to tell you of our love, so listen to our hearts. But words are not enough to tell you of our love, so listen to our heart.
Thank you. Thank you, Zan. And Zan and myself, we got married last year on the 6th of August. And, you know, probably some of you are desperate to get married soon. And especially nowadays, young people get into relationship too quickly. And their breakups are quite untimely and too quick also. But I'll tell you, it's worth the wait. And I tell people time spent waiting on God is never wasted. And it took me 40 years in the wilderness to look for Zan, went 257 countries, and finally had to come back to India, and I found Zan. And, you know, the beauty of our wedding. We wanted to keep it simple. You know, in Indian culture, they try to make wedding very complex, and it's a lot of show, a lot of fake things, so much so that they end up spending their entire life savings on the wedding, which is remembered only for a short time. And for those who are thinking of wedding, I want to tell you the goal should be how to keep a wedding simple and creative. And we chose to go in this kind of a transportation. You can show the first picture, please. So that is what we did. That's a tuk-tuk or an auto rickshaw in Indian language. And instead of a Benz car, we chose two auto rickshaws. And it was a big hit at our wedding that people took pictures of the auto rickshaw as though they have never seen it before. But it's a very common mode of transportation. And we made an impact in the society with the way we chose for our wedding. And I just want to tell you that you spend time waiting on God. He will give you the wisdom. Now, coming back to talking about faith, today I'm going to talk about what hinders our faith. You might think that you're too young to demonstrate God's faith in and through your life. But I'll tell you, you're not too young. I want to show you a picture from Egypt. The next picture, please. Now, this was a mountain that was the backdrop when I was having my lunch at the Coptic Cathedral last year in Egypt. So I asked them, what is the name of this mountain? They said, Al-Mukattam. I said, what is the meaning of Al-Mukattam? They said, Al-Mukattam means the mountain moved. And I laughed and I said, what a silly name for a mountain. They said, no, Benny, this really happened. I was shocked, so I went back and I started to do a bit of research of history. And in the 9th century, there was a man called Caliph. And he was the ruler of Egypt. And he loved to have religious discourses and debates. There was a Jewish man called Yaqub. And the bishop of the Coptic church, his name was Abram. So they used to have these discourses. And it came to a point when one day, Abram had an upper hand over Yaqub. And Yaqub did not like it. So Yaqub wanted to take revenge. So he goes back to the king. And he says, you know that there is a scripture in the Bible that the Christians believe, where if you ask this mountain, if you have faith of a mustard seed, and you ask this mountain to move from here to there, it will move. So the king called up Abraham and said, is it true that it says in the Bible like this? And Abraham said, yes. Then the king said, well, this is the mountain. And I want this mountain to be moved in the next 3 days. And if you don't move this mountain, that means that your religion is false, and I'm going to kill all the Christians in the land of Egypt. This happened in the 9th century. So it was a do or die situation. And Bishop Abraham did not know how to move a mountain. He had a lot of theological knowledge, but it really takes a simple, honest faith. There was an ordinary shoemaker, a cobbler called Simon. He was an ordinary man, not with a lot of education, but a man filled with faith. So Bishop Abraham goes to a cobbler who was known to have faith. And he said, this is the situation. In 3 days, the king is going to kill all of us if we don't move this mountain. So the cobbler comes up to the mountain, gathers all the Christians on the third day. They gather around the mountain and they start to pray, praying that Lord have mercy. The king was there, everyone else was there. And as he prayed, the mountain lifted up and the mountain started to move. They said that it was so much so that they could see the sun between the mountain and the land. It was a very clear lift. And when they sat down, the mountain sat. And again, they stood up to pray. The mountain stood up and started to move. They did that 3 times. And history says that the mountain moved 3 kilometers. Even now, you go and Google Al-Mukattam, you will see the story and you will see the pictures. It started off with an ordinary shoemaker who prayed, seeing that King Caliph gave up his religion and accepted Christ as his savior. If an ordinary man could have faith like this, why are we in this modern world having so much of the knowledge of Jesus Christ and experiences, why are we not able to exhibit our faith in this world? What stops us? Now I'll tell you, you don't need to be 35 or 40. You don't need to have a theological degree in order to showcase your faith in Christ. Your lifestyle and what Christ has done in you is enough for people to taste and see the goodness of Jesus Christ. But you see, many times we are so busy reading stories of faith, we are so busy talking about other people's faith. But my question is, where is your own story of faith? Do you have a story of faith? When was the last time you saw Jesus Christ being exhibited in and through your life? But I want to tell you, you are not too young to showcase Christ in the world. You're not too small. You're not too insignificant. Your age at the place where you are at is more than enough to showcase Christ. But I'm going to talk about three reasons why we are not able to showcase Christ in the present life that we are in. I remember going to Uzbekistan. I met a 15-year-old boy. For security reasons, I don't want to show the picture. This boy was only 15 years old. How many of you are 15 here? Can I see your hands up? Okay, please put your hands down. How many of you are below 18 here? Can I see your hands up? Below 18. Wow. Okay, you can put your hands down. Now, look at this. This boy was only 15. He was caught and put in prison because he believed in Jesus. And during his time in the prison, they took a needle and they pierced between his nail and his skin. This area, they say, is more sensitive than your tongue. And they pierced every day for 2 months, asking him to deny Christ or they will continue to persecute him. Every single day they did that. And then I looked at him and I said, it must be so painful for you to bear that pain. What made you endure that pain? He says, Benny, I want to thank Jesus for giving me an opportunity to go to the prison. And I was like, do anyone thank Jesus for the prison experience? We only thank Jesus for getting first rank in the class, for our dreams to come true, for buying a car, for passing a driver's license, or so on and so forth. How many times do we ever thank for the pain that we have gone through? And I said, how can you thank God for being in a prison? He said, Benny, I want to thank God because during my time in the prison, I was able to lead 105 non-believers to Christ. If a 15-year-old boy could have that as his vision, faith that in spite of being in the prison, he could lead people to Christ, what is stopping you today from exhibiting faith in your life that others can notice? Three reasons. The first one is unbelief. Book of James chapter 1 verse 6 to 8 says, but when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Unbelief. And again, I want to tell you, do not say that, Benny, I'm too young to have faith and belief in Jesus. No! You are at this church, your cell groups are so strong, you learn so much of Christ because I've sat through some of your cell groups. Incredible! You have been overfed compared to the people out there in the world who hardly have much knowledge of Jesus. And there is no excuse for you to keep it just to yourself. Unbelief. God has called you at the age, but you might say that, Benny, I'm too young. No. I struggle with unbelief. I remember in 2013, when Jesus had given this vision to build Chai 316, it was beyond my understanding. I had experienced Christ. In 2002, Jesus told me, I'm going to take you to every single country on this earth. And he did that with nothing. At that time, I only had $25 a month as my support being a YWAM missionary. He provided. This is my one passport. This is the proof of God's faithfulness. I tasted and I've seen that he has taken me to every single country. This is 15 books inside this passport. My favorite part of carrying this passport is at the immigration desk. You must see the facial expression of the officer when I put my passport across. The passport, the officer looks at it and sometimes he says, sir, don't come as a family, come one person at a time. And when I tell them that I am this one person, they are shocked. And the first question they ask me is, where do you get the money to travel? Because I'm an Indian, I'm a musician, and I'm a simple guy. They can't understand, how could I travel the world like this? 257 countries. Even I broke the world record and became the fastest man ever to travel to both sovereign and dependent countries in the shortest time. Seeing all these things, you know what? I was still prone to unbelief. Seeing God provide so much, God do such amazing things in my journey. When God told me to build Chai 316, you can show the next picture, please. When he told me to build this building, I could not imagine. Because the first thing, the builder said it's going to cost $1 million. And I'm starting with zero. Well, zero is a good number. Because one, it was invented by an Indian. Two, it's better than minus. So, and God says, I'm going to provide for you, but you have to go ahead and build it. Because God says, build a very special cafe, a 400-seater cafe, to reach out to young urban college students who are suicidal, depressed and lonely. You see, in India, education is above religion. The academics is treated like God for them, for many, many families. You have tuition centers all over the country, but you hardly have any counseling centers. Suicide is so rampant. Completely shocking what's happening. And yet there is nothing being done about this. And here God says, Benny, build a facility like this so that it will be excellent and it will reach out to young college students who have lost value to live, who have lost hope to live. And I'm just an ordinary guy. I'm a musician. All I know is play the guitar. I can't even sing. At least thank God he provided me a wife who can sing now. And I had nothing, you know. And he says, Benny, I want you to start something like this. How can I do it? I'm just an ordinary boy. Don't have much money. And I'll tell you, you might be sitting here with all these excuses today saying, God, I'm just a young boy. God, I don't have much money. I don't have much experience. But I'll tell you, if God could use an ordinary broken person like me, who have no proper education, both of us actually, my wife has done 9th standard, I'm 10th standard. That's our education. I don't know what it is in Singapore language when it comes to education. But both of us, we don't have proper education. And yet, God picks us and he says, Benny, I'm going to do something new through your life. And the builder says, you have 17 months to pay $1 million. And here I'm sitting with a zero. And God says, I'm going to bless you. I'll tell you, it doesn't take intellectual mind. It takes belief in Christ to move forward. And at the age that you are in, God has the power to communicate his dreams and his vision for this nation at the place where you are at. So I had to put aside my unbelief and believe in Christ. So the first thing I asked Jesus, how will you provide the money? He said, Benny, use your CDs. Because a project like this is so fascinating, it's so nice that nobody will give money. You see, many times when it comes to a mission project, it's always to do with people who are poor, in the slum, who are blind, who are trafficked, who have been beaten. It is just they create a story so sad that you feel, you cry, and out of the guilt, you give. And you give and you feel good that you have done something. You see, many times we go on a mission trip, we sweat, we clean something, and then we come back. And then we think we have done a great thing because, I sweat for half an hour, which doesn't happen in Singapore because your sweating is only 5 minutes. Because from one mall to the other mall is only 5 minutes. No. So, since you have sweat for about, your sweating was for half an hour, you think that you have done a great job for missions. Just because you did not wash your shirt for 2 days. Wow, I sacrificed for Jesus in the mission field. See, this is the understanding we have. And again, I'm not here to put you down, but I'm telling you the perspective. Is many times we would think that these are the things. And I looked at this and I said, God, nobody will give money for a project like this. It is nothing to do with the poor, the sick, and the needy. And he says, Benny, these young boys and girls are emotionally needy. So he says, Benny, use your CDs. I said, God, this is the worst season for CD sales. Everything is digital. You see, even our CD, even our laptop players don't have CD players anymore. And then he says, don't put a price for the CDs. Let people decide their own price. And then I don't know if you remember, I told God that, God, I come from India. Anything that is free, we take it very seriously. Are you sure that something like this would really work? I was practically talking to God because I know the Indian mindset. Anything that is free, whether we need or no, is secondary. We would even apply for leave to go and get that. And here, even if we are not hungry, if it is free, we would somehow make space in the stomach to eat. Because it's free. And here God is telling, let them decide the price. I said, God, $1 million with an outdated product you're telling me to do. He says, I will bless you. What it takes is belief, not the latest technology. And I'll tell you, I believe Jesus. I operated in faith. And in 17 months, God provided $1 million through CD sales. So much so that even Michael W. Smith was shocked. He said, Benny, what did you do? What did you speak? I said, nothing. I just obeyed the voice of God. And he provided everything that was needed for this. Highest I received for one CD was $10,000, many times. And God provided everything. And he gets the glory. The next thing, people made fun of me. They said, Benny, why are you only going to serve chai? You should give coffee, you should give samosa, you should give biscuits. They went on with these ideas. But God said only tea. It takes belief. And sometimes that belief makes you a fool in the eyes of the world, but not for long. In due time, he will make you the head and not the tail. And I'll tell you, this is how the cafe looks inside. You can show the next picture, please. It's a 400-seater cafe. It's amazing. Young people walk in every day. We get an average of 50 people from different walks of faith, atheists, Hindus, Muslims, Christians. People who are suicidal, all kinds. Every week we rescue one young boy or a girl who are at a point of committing suicide. And we are able to make an impact. People are coming and saying, what did you do that young people come to the cafe? Even they did a survey and Chai 316 was rated as the top 11 cafes of the city of Bangalore among 9 million people. We have thousands and thousands of cafes. Within 1 year, we were rated among the top 11. It's only because of Jesus, and all that we do is serve chai, nothing else. Only tea. And we build relationship. We listen to the problems of the students. The maximum listening went on for 8 hours, one sitting. All kinds of young people come. One girl came with her hand slit. What, self-harming? I've gone through a lot, but I didn't understand what is self-harming. And here she has come with her hand cut. And she says that, you know what, my father left me when I was little. My mother ended up into having multiple affairs. And I'm 17 and I've already finished having multiple affairs. I finished taking drugs. alcohol, smoking. I am bored and fed up with everything in life. I've come to the point of committing suicide. She said she has already attempted suicide 3 times. And here she said somebody told about Chai 316 and that's why I've come here. We were able to sit and listen to her for 4 hours and then share Christ. And today when I see this, what it took was belief in Christ to see an impact in the society, to reduce the suicides that are happening. And the best part of our cafe is our toilets. The next picture, please. So this is how our toilets look. They're very musical. And they're in the shape of a piano and a guitar. And many times these students come up and say, "Sir, the toilet looks so good. I don't feel like using it. Do you have any normal toilets out here?" And just with our toilets, we are able to make an impact. So many people came to the cafe just because of the toilet. And through the toilet, we are able to share Christ. We should start up a new ministry called Toilets for Christ, you know. And through that, we can share. But I'll tell you, we are able to make an impact. And all these things started off with a simple belief in Christ. Today, you can put your faith and your belief in Christ. Second one, selfishness, which is so rampant in today's world, becoming selfish. No, we are not satisfied at all. The number of watches we have, number of cell phones. By the time you have bought your cell phone, already Samsung is ready with the next one. And you see, if you really see the difference between S7 and S8, there's hardly much other than the number, S7 and S8. Other than the price. We have become fools by buying these products without even knowing the usage of that. But I'll tell you, selfishness is a very dangerous thing. What stops us from having faith in Christ. And yet, when we celebrate Good Friday and Easter, it's nothing but a selfless sacrifice of Jesus. Even though he was rich, he became poor for you and me. What is our attitude today in this amazing world of Singapore? James chapter 4 verse 3 says, "When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend what you get on your own pleasures." That's another reason why we don't have faith exhibited, is because we have selfishness. The next picture, please. You see, I designed this guitar in 2006 when I was invited for the FIFA World Cup in Germany. This guitar became the highest number of strings on a guitar ever. Before this, it was Pat Metheny's guitar called Picasso, which was a 42-string guitar. See, I came from a non-musical background. I was the only non-musician in my family. I went for music lessons when I was 15. And on the first day, the guitar teacher told me, "Please don't come back anymore." He said, "You have no musical talents. You can't sing to the right tune. You can't clap to the right beat. You have no musical element in you." From a place like that, Jesus raises me up and makes me a musician. 2004, I designed the world's first bongo guitar for the Olympic Games in Greece. It was such a fascinating instrument that the North Korean government asked me to come and perform. And seeing all these things, God did such amazing things. And here, I ended up designing this guitar. And the only reason on the outside, I said, "Well, I want to design this guitar so that I can use this guitar to attract the football players, the audiences and everyone, and then talk about Jesus and everything." And everyone believed that. But I'll tell you, heart of hearts, I wanted to make myself known. I wanted to tell the world, "Look how smart I am. How excellent guitar designer I am. I've designed a guitar which nobody has seen." And all these things, I wanted to show off my strength and my knowledge. But outside, I wanted to use. So, you know what? I wanted to use the name of God to make myself known. Selfishness. I did not need to design another guitar. That guitar was still valid, actually. But I did this out of selfish reason. You know what? The story of this guitar is exactly like the Titanic ship. It never did one journey properly. I took it to Germany. everyone were excited, and they all displayed and said that, you know, 54 string guitar by an Indian and all these. And you know what, when I started to perform, only 6 strings worked. 48 strings were not working. It was so embarrassing. The first 2 concerts went on. The 3rd concert, people would come and say, when are we going to hear the other strings? How can I tell them it's not working? It was humiliating, and I just didn't know what to do, and suddenly the bridge popped off. And I've never seen a bridge come off just like that. And I'll tell you, I repented, and I said, God, I'm really sorry. I have to throw off this guitar. Spent a lot of money, lot of time, lot of research, but everything came out of selfishness. And the result of selfishness is destruction. And that's what happened. This guitar is destroyed. It's only a picture now. I don't even know where this guitar is right now. It's in some dungeon. But out of that, I repented, and God accepted my repentance. And that's how the 20-string guitar got birthed. And that's the guitar I used for my travels to all the other countries. But I want to tell you, what is your desire today? Do you know the difference between what is need and what is want? You are desiring to buy a shirt. Do you know why? Do you really need another shirt? Do you really need another watch, another phone? Or is it because your friends have the latest? Don't be fooled. Because the latest will never remain latest. There's always things just going up and up and up and up. But I'll tell you, if you have the power to be content today, you are a winner. Your faith level will increase, because your identity is not on the goods that you wear, but it is in Christ who created you with His precious blood. He transformed you. The last one is unforgiveness. And unforgiveness is a big killer in our faith journey. Mark chapter 11 verse 25 and 26 says, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. You know, our forgiveness is dependent also on how we forgive others. Because the Bible says, so that your Father. In Asian countries, a father is only a fear factor. See, mother is a love factor. Father is only a fear factor. When we fail, father comes into the picture. When we do something wrong, father comes into the picture. Only when something goes wrong, when there is a crisis, father appears. And as a result, we don't have a proper relationship with our father. Even now, I'll tell you, I can talk to a bus conductor for a longer time than my father. My wife gets to talk for a longer time with my father than me, actually. Because that's the challenge in Asian countries. But I'll tell you, you cannot keep grudge and bitterness against your family members or anyone for that matter. Let me show you a picture. The next one, please. This man is a friend of mine called Steve Saint. Steve is the one who designed the world's first flying car. This is the car that can fly in the air, go on water, as well as on land. And you know, Steve's father, Nate Saint, was the first missionary who went into the Amazon jungle along with a few others, Jim Elliot and others. And they were killed. Nate Saint was killed. And the man who killed Nate Saint, that is Steve's father, his name was Min Kaye. He murdered his father. And what did Steve do? You know, when he grew up, he went and met Min Kaye. And found out that he is the man who murdered his father. You know, he did not go with another knife to kill him. But instead, he went to Min Kaye and said, Min Kaye, I know you murdered my father, but I am here to forgive you. And can you be my father? So he adopted the murderer as his father. That's the power of forgiveness through Christ. And you know, he didn't stop there. Bible says, love your enemies as yourself and do good to those who hurt you, who harm you, who persecute you. And this man, he designed this flying car. The only reason is Because the people in the Amazon jungle are not able to get medical help. And he has done this so that they can reach to the nearest clinic or a hospital from one mountain to the other mountain. They cannot drive through the mountains. No roads. But they can fly from one point to the other. And he did this for a tribe that murdered his father. What is your response today when your friends backbite you? When they harm you? When they talk bad about you? When they have literally destroyed your reputation? What do you do? Do you hold on to anger, revenge and bitterness? If you have that, no point of calling yourself a Christian. As a Christian, you have to forgive. And you have to ask for forgiveness. And here Steve Saint adopted his murderer of his father as his father. And he did something nice for them. The last picture, please. This happened in Milwaukee, in Wisconsin, in the U.S. I went to speak for a youth camp on a campsite. And I was doing a concert in the evening and suddenly it started to rain. When it started to rain, they put a covering for me, but they forgot the rest of them. I told them, please, either you take off the covering for me or you put a covering for all of them. Because everyone is equal. We are all sinners, doomed to death. The only reason we have eternal life is because of Jesus Christ. So nobody is more special than the other person. And so later on, we finish the meeting. And in the evening at 10, the pastor comes and says, Benny, we have a baptism at the nearby river. Can you please baptize one of the girls? I said, no, because I have not met any of these people. Secondly, I've never spent any time in nurturing them. You are the ones who have spent time. So you should be the one who should baptize her. They said, but this girl is different. I said, what's different? Then they started to narrate the story. This girl, who's there in the middle, and she is 26 years old. She is a married lady who is, she has a husband and a daughter or a child. And father, whenever the husband is away at work, the father somehow sneaks inside and he goes and rapes his daughter. And you know, I don't know how to even react to a situation like this because we have never had rape in our entire family. We don't know what it means to be sexually assaulted in our family. And here is a girl, 26 years old. Whenever the husband is away, somehow the father is able to make it into the house and rape his daughter. And she, you know, she has known Christ. She has accepted Christ as a savior. But every time she is ready to get baptized, she feels guilty. She feels that she is not able to forgive herself, not able to forgive her father. And she was like never ready for baptism every time. And that day at the concert, she went to the pastor and said, today I believe that I am ready for baptism. The pastor said, how? She said, when Benny told that either you put the tent for everyone or for no one, she said, I have been accepted by Christ. And I have been cleansed by Christ. And Christ is the one who qualifies me to get baptized. And hence, I release forgiveness to my father. And she came forward to taking baptism. What is holding on in your heart today, in your life? Did somebody rape you? And as a result, you are holding on to grudge and bitterness and anger and unforgiveness. Did someone murder your family member? Did somebody talk bad about you? Talk lies about you? They backbited about you? I don't know what it is, but I'll tell you, if you're a genuine Christian, we have no right to hold on to unforgiveness. As a Christian, we have to forgive. That's what the Bible says. And in order for you to experience God's forgiveness, it also depends on us to forgive others. And what is the challenge that you have today? Why are you not able to exhibit faith? Why is your prayer so empty that you pray and nothing happens? And I found these three reasons: unbelief, selfishness, and unforgiveness. But I'll tell you, no matter what it is, you have to forgive. Go and ask for forgiveness. Release forgiveness. I had to do that with my father. I was beaten so badly. My father used rods to beat me. He was not an evil father, but this is what he learned from his father. He thought by beating a child, they will become good in studies. Doesn't work like that. I remember I was 9 years old when I was stripped naked and put outside my house because I failed in mathematics by my own parents. But I forgave my parents. Not because they deserved, neither because I have the power. It is only because Jesus has given us this command: forgive. And I forgive. Today I have an excellent relationship with my father. I still remember as a school child, I was so ashamed of my body. This was in 9th standard. I was 13 years old. You know, I used to cover my body completely till my wrists. And only my face was shown and my hands, nothing else in my body throughout the year. Whether it's winter or summer or spring or rainy season, I covered myself completely. I was this sickly looking young boy who was so weak, filled with medication. And one day the biology teacher came in my 9th standard and she forgot to bring the skeleton map. See, in India, they think that they can treat a person who has done bad in studies, they can treat the way they want. They forget that even the failures have emotions. And the way she treated me was unacceptable. She forced me to come in front of the entire class, 35 of boys and girls. And I'll tell you, I would not even show my arm. She forced me to take off my shirt. And with bare body, she asked the entire class to come and count the number of ribs on my body. It was so humiliating. And people made fun of my body. And I was a sick boy. I was born with asthma. 60% of my lungs were damaged because of wrong medication. I have arthritis. And yet, they made fun of me. It was so hard. I could not tell anyone. But I'll tell you today, I could look at those teachers when they invited me for an award. When I broke the world record, suddenly the school recognized that this is our child. You see, I was thrown out of the school and the same school suddenly recognized me as their child. They said, "We are so proud to have you in our school," even though I was thrown out. And I saw these teachers. I remembered my classroom experience. But I'll tell you, I never went to take revenge on them. I forgave them. Today, what is your excuse for holding on to unbelief, selfishness, and unforgiveness? As I play this song, "You Raise Me Up," and they have the glimpses of the Passion of Christ. And I want to tell you, if there's anyone here, you're suffering and struggling with unbelief, with selfishness, and with unforgiveness, my prayer for you today is that you will be set free by making an intentional decision for Jesus to help you through that. Let's play the track, please. close our eyes, please. As all eyes are closed, if there's anyone here, you have really struggled in your heart with unbelief and with selfishness and with unforgiveness. And today, you have sensed and felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit pointing these areas in your life. And you want to repent. You want to turn. And you want to act on this by saying, Jesus, I want to start putting my 100% faith and belief in you. Help me to get over my unbelief. You have been selfish and today you have felt the conviction and you want to become selfless like Christ. Or you have had so much of bitterness and anger and unforgiveness and today you have felt the conviction that you need to go and release forgiveness or ask for forgiveness and you want to act on that. As all our eyes are closed, if there's anyone like that, you want to act on these three areas, you can stand up and I want to pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And by you standing, you are making an intentional decision by saying, Jesus, I am going to act on this. Help me. Help me in my unbelief. Help me, Lord, that I will move from selfishness to selflessness. Help me, Lord, to release forgiveness to those who have hurt and harmed me. Help me, Lord, with humility that I will be able to go and ask for forgiveness to those I have hurt. Christian life is action, not just a decision-making situation. By you standing, you are taking the responsibility by putting these into action. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Just sense that there are a few of us here who are feeling very broken. So I want to just give an opportunity as the worship team leads us to come and receive that healing touch from the Lord. But I sense that God is also saying that this call is not for you to just come to receive healing. But this call is also for you to come and say, God, I want to receive a dream from you. To know that God can turn you from a broken vessel into a vessel that carries His glory. Just like how Benny's life was broken. But today, he's able to bring glory to Jesus. So if that's you, you can just come forward, including those of you who have responded to Benny's call. If you know you need to receive that prayer and to receive that faith from the Lord, just come and respond even as the team leads us. And for the rest of us, can we all stand? So I believe God is really speaking to you, so let's not waste time, alright? You can just quickly come forward and just get the ministers to just pray for you. Leaders just to come to stand out with our brothers and sisters and pray for them.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found.
Some of you in the front, you may not have someone come to pray for you yet, but I want you to know that even right now, that God sees you. And He sees all your pains. No, even right now, just begin to call upon the Lord yourself. Because He wants, first and foremost, you to be the one to call out unto Him. So I bless you, I pray that you remember just how much the Lord Jesus, He came so that through His death, through His suffering, that you can receive healing and restoration. And as the Lord heals you, you know that as He forgives you, you know that His Spirit is now giving you the power to go forth and to heal others, to forgive others. And therefore, your life no longer just need to be a broken vessel anymore. That you can be also a vessel that carries the glory of the Lord wherever you go. So Father, touch every one of my brothers and sisters in Christ who are here just yearning for you. And Father, I also ask that you will touch all those who recognize that they need to overcome their unbelief, that selfishness, that unforgiveness. Lord, you know every heart is calling for you right now. We just ask that Holy Spirit come and do that deeper work of restoration. Do that work of circumcision when you remove everything that is not of you, so that we will be ready to grow a heart that is more and more like you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And let's also thank Benny and Zan for just ministering to us today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. So as you go, I just bless you that the grace of God will just be with you, and that you'll be just that vessel of His grace wherever you go. And all God's people say, Amen, Amen.
Thanks for tuning in. We trust you have been blessed. For more information, check us out at www.cruise.org.sg. God bless.